Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Mem Beis. Rav Huna ochal tlesa rifti b'nei tlosa tlosa b'kavo. Rav Huna ate a large amount of pas habal b'kisnin. Pas habal b'kisnin, we saw in Rashi on the previous Daf that it is a type of baked good with a we could call it pas is bread, but it's bread with a lot of spices and almonds and different things to change its taste, we'll say, from a regular type of bread. And he ate 13 loaves of this tlesa rifti b'nei, and each one of them was tlosa tlosa kav, 3 kav in each loaf, velo borich. And he didn't make a brocha. What does that mean? He didn't make a brocha achrona. Rashi says he v'lo birech acharov. What's implied here is that he didn't say birchas hamazon after eating that large quantity. Amalei Rav Nachman, adi kafna. This amount would be eaten for someone who was very hungry. Rashi says, "Adi elu klomar elu lere avon in echlu v'achil meruba kazu lo nifteres mibracha." This kind of quantity is eaten because someone is famished, and you can't say that you can eat that without saying a bracha afterwards. And you'll see here that it's a reference to birchas hamazon. And we go back to the Gemara after Rav Nachman says, "Adi kafna." These mean this kind of amount, this 13 loaves, each one of 3 kav, is eaten out of hunger. Rather, the standard is that anything that an average person or other people would establish their meal on, that based on them, tzorich levorech, that requires, that necessitates a birchas hamazon. Now, we look at the Rashi on the first narrow line, Elokol Shachirim Koivin Achilosan Bekach, Ton Birchas Hamazon, an amount that other people would consider a full meal, so that will necessitate a Birchas Hamazon. Kach Piresh Rav Hai, V'Rabosenu Pirshu Tleis Rifti Mipas Shelonu V'lo Birch Acharov. There's another pshat that Rashi brings, it's the Rabosenu pshat, that he ate regular bread, not pas habal b'kisnin, but rather regular bread, and didn't make a birchas hamazon afterwards, mishum d'lo sova, because he wasn't satisfied from it. He ate a large amount, but it didn't satisfy him. He had a ravenous appetite. Ukro ksiv uvi'ochalta v'savoto v'rachta. The pasuk insists on svi'ah, on satisfaction. So he was working with the pasuk. V'kach pirush rav hidoy baluch skidoylois. And that pshat is something that the Bahag also adopts. This what we call the Rabosenu pshat. The Eino Nirali, Rashi says he doesn't think this is the way to go. And the Lesle Rav Huna veimechmira atzman kazayisvat kebeitza delok Rabbi Meir delok Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says later in the next perek that the Jewish people accepted upon themselves beyond what the pasuk says, that even for a kezias according to Rebbe or a kebetz according to Rebbe Yehuda, an olive quantity or egg quantity of regular bread demands a birchas hamazon. So it would be fairly odd that Rav Huna wouldn't have accepted the ruling of these tanoim. So that it's more likely that we're not dealing with regular bread, but with pas habal b'kisnin. Continuing in the Gemara, we have an incident, and we've noted this with a long marking. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see the word Maisa with a vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines form the story. Rav Yehuda, Ave Osig Le Lebrei, Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was helping to prepare a wedding for his son in the house of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisul kamayu pasabal bekisnin. They brought in front of them this kind of spiced bread. Pasabal bekisnin is more convenient for us simply to refer to it as that, assuming that you're familiar already with the Rashi we alluded to back on Daf Mem Aleph. Ki also, when Rav Yehuda came, Shaminhu de komevorchi hamotzi. He walked in the room and he heard people about to eat this pasabal bekisnin, and they were making the broch of hamotzi. Omar lehu, Rav Yehuda asked, "My tzitzi de koshamano." The word tzitzi is a type of onomatopoeia or a play with the sound made by the word hamotzi. Dilma hamotzi lechem min oretz ko mevarchisu. Are you possibly saying hamotzi lechem in oretz, which is the bracha said over regular bread? And he was skeptical whether that should be said. He didn't agree that that should be said over pasabal bekisnin. So Amri lay in, they said to Rav Yehuda, that's exactly what we're saying. Desanya Rabbi Muna Omar Mishum Rav Yehuda pasabal bekisnin mevorchen oloyo hamotzi. The Omar Shmuel halacha ki Rabbi Muna. So they said to him that, in fact, we are following what Rabbi Muna teaches in this Tanaic source, and Shmuel rules like that, that pasabal bekisnin, this spiced bread, requires that brocha. Omar Luhu, Rabbi Yehuda responded and said, Ein halocha k'Rabbi Muna itmar. Whereas I know that Shmuel's opinion is quite the contrary. They say the halocha is not like Rabbi Muna. Amri lei v'ha morhu d'yomar mishmei d'Shmuel. So they asked him, Rav Yehuda, but you said in the name of Shmuel, Lachmonios me'arvin bohen u'mevorchin aleim hamotzi. Now Rashi says, Lachmonios uvliash belaz. So we have this term uvliash is a obviously it's a French word. So but we'll have to take it in the context of a type of flavored or spiced bread. The Tosfos on this point, if you look in Tosfos Lachmonios, Pirush Rashi Uvliash, Velo Nehira. The Tosfos does not like this pshat of Uvliash. The Imkain Afilu Lo Kova Nami Tzorach Levorach Hamotzi Shrehu Lechem Gomor Shrei Sofo Isa. So Tosfos doesn't like the Uvliash pshat because, in his opinion, the Uvliash really is regular bread because of the way it's baked, it's dough that's kneaded, and likely that it's baked in an oven the way you would bake bread. So Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat, and unfortunately we're not translating Uvliash because we don't have the means, we'll say, in the context of our Daf Yomi Gemara marking shoot to deal with these foreign words. But you can see, at least from the context, that Tosfos doesn't accept that pshat. V'nira lefarish, so he, Tosfos, offers a different pshat, the hainu, nilish. Now, nilish was mentioned in Tosfos back on Daf Lamed Ches. And nilish was some type of mixture of flour and water, but it was not baked in, it was a type of a loose batter that wasn't baked in the regular fashion. Mihu kikova sudase ole, when you establish your meal over the nilish, then mevorech olav hamotzi kemo bepurim, which is a point that Tosfos mentioned back on the Aflamet Ches. Mihu Rabbeinu Shimshon Piresh de'ein levorech olav hamotzi dehavi kemo daisa. Regarding the nilish, Reb Shimon says it's not to be blessed with the hamotzi bracha because it's like daisa. Daisa is a type of porridge or cereal. Now we turn back to our Gemara, and we are awaiting Shmuel's. We have Rabbi Yehuda discussing with with the other people there regarding the Lachmonios, and Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda says to them, "Well, that which I said that Shmuel says on Lachmonios that you make hamotzi, so shiny hasam the kava sudose olayu." That the case of the Lachmonios is where they establish the meal over it. No, but where you don't establish your meal over it, So then it doesn't warrant a hamotzi. And apparently in this setup, in this scenario of this particular incident, they were simply served it as a snack, and hence Rav Yehuda opposed their saying hamotzi. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, Gomar Sudaso, Umachlit Shroitz Laham Shichlech. A person finished his meal and he decides he wants to continue eating. Haim Muter, is he allowed just to continue eating? Ochayev Levorech Birchas Hamazon, or by the fact that he came to the conclusion that where he finished his meal, he now has to make Birchas, he has to say the Birchas Hamazon before he can continue eating. So our Gemara, Rav Papa Iklo Lebei Rav Huna Brei de Rav Nosson. Bosar Rav Huna visited Rav Huna Brei's de Rav Nosson's house. Bosar de Gemara Sudasai, when they finished their meal, Aisu Lekamayu Midi Lemechal. See, we've dashed them. They Bosar de Gemara Sudasai, they finished their meal and then they brought something else to eat. Shokol Rav Papa Vekochil. Rav Papa took it and ate it. Amri Lei, they asked Rav Papa, Lo Sover Lo Mor Gomar Osu Milechol, do you not hold from the teaching that when you finish the meal, it's also to eat? As Rashi says, Achi Vorech Birchas Hamazon, the Yachsi Vorech Al Habolifonov, that you cannot eat until you say the Birchas Hamazon, and then say a new bracha on that which was brought in front of you. Even the Gomar, Osach Daite Mi Bracha Rishon Misudase, Rashi says that since he finished the meal, at that point his mind became disjointed from, disconnected, we'll say, from eating. Omar Lahub, in the Gemara, Silek Itmar. This idea that you're asking about me, not Gomar Sudose, but Silek. Silek means the table that you were eating from. In this man of the Gemara, it's worth emphasizing, every person had a personal type of table from which they ate, as opposed to what we're accustomed to today, was a large table with a number of seats around it. In this man of the Gemara, everyone had their individual table. And when is it that this concept of Isser Achila until Birchas Hamazon, that's when that table is removed from you. Rashi says, Silek Yitmar, Im Silek HaLechem V'chol HaOichel Me'al HaShulchan V'adayin Lo Borchu Osir Milechol. Rashi is seemingly sensitive to our type of tables as well. He's not saying the removal of the table. Even on this concept of removal of the table is something that you can see in the Tosfos. He mentions that that was the practice in the time of the Gemara. Rashi, though, by saying in Silek HaLechem V'chol HaOichel Me'al HaShulchan, is simply a reference to that the table, once the table is cleared off of the bread and any other food on it, and at that point you can't continue eating if they bring in new food until Birchas Hamazon is recited. So that's what Rav Papa said to them. Listen, I realize that we finished the meal, but there's still food left on the table, and or the table wasn't removed, and therefore I'm allowed to continue eating the foodstuffs that were just brought in. The Gemara continues. Rava of Rabbi Zera iklu lebei Reish Galusa. They visited the Reish Galusa, the head of the Jewish community in the exile. Lamposer de sliku taka mikomayu, when the table, after the table was removed from in front of them, sliku is removal, taka is a table, mikomayu from in front of them, shadru lahu ristina mibei Reish Galusa. So there was a portion was sent from the Reish Galusa's house to them. So you have Rav and Rabbi Zera were visitors by the Reish Galusa. Their tables were removed, and a portion was sent to them from the Reish Galusa. Rav Achil, Rabbi Zera lo Achil. Rav ate from it, Rabbi Zera did not. Amar Lei, Rabbi Zera says, lo savar lo mor silek osir melechol. And here you can see the Gemara, at this point the Gemara is adopting that which Rav Papa mentioned just before, that the point of no return, so to speak, the end of eating without first saying Abraham's Mazon, is when Silek takes place. And now here Silek took place. Omar Lei, Rava responded, Anan Atako Deresh Galusa Samchinon. Literally means I am reliant upon the table of the Reish Galusa. Meaning that, true that my table may have been removed, but the fact that our personal tables were removed does not mean that our minds are off continued eating. Because we are based on, we're somech on, we're relying on the Reish Galusa. So that if he has the intent of sending food to us, even though our tables are removed, we are able to continue eating because our mind is on the Reish Galusa. Omar Rav, Harogil B'Shemen, a person who is accustomed after the meal to smear his hands with oil. We can say maybe it's a form of hand cream, but as far as the Gemara is concerned, they rub their hands with oil. A person who is accustomed to doing that after his meal. So shemen me'akvo. That means that regarding the issue of making brachas over food, even if a person finished his meal, removed and the table, or the table was cleared off, or the table was removed from in front of him, but he didn't smear his hands yet, he's still considered in the middle of the meal, and he's able to eat without making a new bracha. In other words, it's still considered, as long as the oil hasn't been smeared on his hands, it's still considered as if he's in the middle of the meal. Omar Ravashi, ki avinon bei Rav Kahana, Omar Lon, when I was learning by the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, he said to us, kegon anan dure gilinon b'mashcha, mashcha me'akvalon. Those like us, that are regilin, that are accustomed to the mashcha, the oil, so the oil is considered a restraining factor, meaning restraining in the sense that we are restrained within the meal, and that there is no need for making a bracha. We can continue eating even though the food or the tables were removed. The Gemara rejects, as far as halacha, the above teachings. Elo, kiha, the Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. Rather, we will follow the teaching of Rav that said, Sholosh Tchifos, saying there are three cases of immediacy. Tchifos, or Tekef, means something immediate. And one of them will be relevant to us. Tekef, the smicha shchita, that's not related to us, but it means that in a korban, when a sacrifice is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, so the owner is expected to place his hands on the head of the korban that he's bringing. Immediately after the smicha, the resting of the hands on the animal, shchita, then it is to be slaughtered. Number two, tekef l'geula tefillah, that has to do with things we've learned earlier in this Masechta, which means immediately after the completion of the Kriya Shema, which contains in it Geula, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the reference, we should say, the mentioning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is redemption, then you are expected to go immediately into Shemona Esrei. And number three, tekef l'netilas yadayim brocha. This is what's relevant to us, that immediately after Netilas Yadayim, meaning the Mayim Achronim, this is the water that one uses to wash his hands at the end of a meal. At that point, then you have to say Birchas HaMazon, and you're not allowed to eat any more until, as Rashi says, Achi Vorech HaMazono, which would seem to be until you say Birchas HaMazon, and then you'll be required to make a new bracha. Omar Abaye, Af Anan, Af Onu Nomar, we're going to add another tekef, and that is tekef the Talmidei Chachamim Brocha. Immediately after one hosts a Talmud Chacham, so he can anticipate increase blessing in his house. Shenemar, the pasuk in the context of Yankiv Avinu, who was by the house of Lavan, it says, Vayivorecheni Hashem Begolecha. Lavan acknowledges that because of Yankiv's visit or stay in his home, in Lavan's home, so Lavan became blessed with wealth. Iboy Esema Mehocha, an alternative shot is that you can learn this idea from the following, Mehocha. Shneamar, it says in the case of Potiphar, where Yosef sojourned in his company, it says, Vayavorach Hashem es beis hamitzri biglal Yosef. So that you see, by hosting a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik in your property, in your home, so bracha follows. So we have another example of a tekef. the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, the topic heading on the side, Brachos al Yayin Umine Mazon Lifnei Hasuda, situations where a person makes a brocha on wine and or other kinds of food items before the actual meal, V'yacholtem Liftor Habo Li'achar HaMazon, and the ability of that brocha on foods eaten at that time to exempt from brocha need foods eaten after the meal. When we speak about after the meal, we're inevitably speaking about a situation where the meal is finished, but Birchas HaMazon has not been recited, and at that point between the end of the formal meal, other food is served. So there are three time stages to be aware of in general as we go through this sugya, and that is there's the issue of before the meal, and that's before someone actually washes his hands with the Hamotzi Lechem Minoretz Bracha recited, which establishes the meal. So there's eating before. Maybe some would refer to that as hors d'oeuvres. Things served before the actual meal starts. And cocktails, where people may drink wine before the meal. Then there's the meal. And then there's a period of time, there's a point in time after the meal, before Birchas HaMazon. So now our Mishnah. Berach al Hayayin Shelifnei HaMazon. Potar es hayayin shela achar hamazon. Rashi, berach al hayayin, nohagim hoyu lahavi koidem achila. It was customary to bring before a meal, kois yayin lishtois, a cup of wine, kedisani lekamon, ketzet seder asov, mvin lefneim parparois, lahamshich achila, and they would bring parparos, food items, to increase, to arouse appetite, kagon pargis vidogim, like little, pargis are small birds and fish. V'achakach mevin hashulchan, and then the table was brought in. The table being the meal. Ula'achar gmar suda, and then after the meal, yoshin v'shoysin v'oichlin, and they would continue drinking and eating. Maybe the term nashing is appropriate. Umahein oichlim, and what would they eat at that point? Parparos. Now, again, you see the word parparos found. Kigon kisni demalu liba v'lachmonios. And we saw kisni with roasted grains. And lachmonios, we had that in our previous sugya, where Rashi had his pshat of ovliash, and the Tosis mentioned his pshat of nilish. Lachmonios, some type of cake, baked good, as we saw before. So they would eat those after the meal. And Rashi emphasizes, like we said before, v'hu yayinu parper shachar mazon, and that's what we mean by yayinu parperus after mazon, v'shneim koidim birchas hamazon. This is all before the birchas hamazon. So we turn back to the Mishnah after having seen the Mishnah say that the bracha on the wine before the meal will exempt from need for additional bracha the wine after the meal. And once again, before birchas, the wine that you drink after meal, but it's before birchas hamazon. Beirach al haparperish lefnei hamazon, potas haparperish shelachar hamazon. And we have the same teaching here with regard to the parperis. Birech al hapas. Here we're already now in the meal. We're starting the meal, so we made a brocha on the what we call the hamotzi. Potar es haparperes. That will exempt parperes from needing a brocha. Al haparperes. If he made a brocha on parperes, lo potar es hapas. That doesn't exempt from a need for a brocha of hamotzi. Beishamai omrim af loy maise kedera. The Gemara will focus on this statement of Beishana Shamai to figure out what it is referring to. Hoyu Yoshvin Kol Echod Mevorech L'atzmo. If people are seated without reclining, so then everyone makes his own bracha and not one saying a bracha to exempt others. Hesevu, if they reclined, Rashi says they reclined on their left sides and ate in such a position, something that might remind someone of a practice that's common on the Seder night. That's part of what we call misubin on the Seder night. This was a standard way of eating in the time of the Gemara. So if they were reclining, then echad mevarech lekulan. This establishes what we call a kvius, a certain sense of togetherness, so that they're considered an entity altogether, and one can recite a bracha to exempt others. The Mishnah continues on the top of Omid Beis. Bolehem yayin v'soch hamazon, kol echad v'echad mevorech li'atzmo. Wine served in the middle of the meal, so each one will make a bracha for themselves. Achar hamazon, wine served after the meal, echad mevorech l'kulam. Then one can make a bracha for everybody else. V'hu oimer al hamugmar, and he will recite, the one who led in the bracha of the wine will lead in the bracha over the mugmar. Mugmar, we can call, is a fragrance or incense that was presented to the people after they finished their meal. It was a case where spices were put on fire and the smoke created a very pleasant aroma, and people would make a bracha borei atzei besamim. So the one who would say that bracha is the same one who had said the bracha for the wine after the meal. Even though the mugmar is brought after the suda, now Rashi adds, and very importantly, la'achar birchas hamazon, so that the mugmar is brought even after the birchas hamazon. It's not part of the meal anymore. Nevertheless, the one who made the bracha on the wine, which was before the birchas hamazon, he started making brachos, so he will say the bracha over the mugmar as well. Before we continue with the Gemara, the topic heading on the side, no say, we've written Brocha al Yayin, Lifnei, Besoch, Acharei, Hamazon. We're going to talk about brochas over the wine, and as we mentioned in the Mishnah, there was wine that was brought before the meal, there's wine that we saw it's drunk in the middle of the meal, and wine after the meal. Masai brocha al echad poter es hasheni. When will it be so that a brocha recited over one of them will exempt the need for a brocha in for another wine period? The Gemara. Omar Rabba Barachan Rabbi Yochanan. Loi shonu, the teaching that wine lufnei hamozon exempts the wine that's le'achar hamazon, this was taught only elo b'shabosos v'yomim tovim, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, hoyu bi'odom koveya sudoso al hayayin, being that people establish their meals over wine. In other words, wine is a central part of the Shabbos and Yom Tov eating experience. Rashi says elo b'shabosos d'daito le'shev achar hamazon v'lishtois. He already intends at the very beginning that after his meal he's going to continue having some wine to drink. And when he makes the bracha at the beginning, the what's called the yayin lifnei mazon adaita dehachi baruch, he has that in mind. He has the post meal wine in mind. And with regard to brachos, this idea of having kavona, having intent, is very important. So when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, this intent is present. However, avol b'sharya moisa shona mevorech al kol kois v'kois. However, with regard to other, we call them weekdays. So then, regarding every cup of wine, a separate bracha must be made, because a person doesn't really have intent after drinking a given cup of wine to have another cup. So that when another cup is served, it's like a new experience, and it's a new decision to drink, and therefore he has to make a new bracha. Itmar Nami, Omar Rabo Bar Mori, Omar Yeshu Ben Levi, Lo Shana Elo, B'Shabosos Yom Tovim. The teaching of the Mishnah is true, namely that the bracha of on the wine lifnei hamazon paters the need for bracha liachar mazon, it applies only on the on certain limited occasions. And he lists three of these occasions. One of them is that which we mentioned already, Shabbos and Yom Tov. Number two, b'shal she'odam yotzei mibeis hamerchatz, after a person experiences a bathhouse. We'll call it a Schwitz experience. Apparently, it was common to have a meal with wine before and after it. And number three, ubishas hakozes dam, and after a person bloodlets. Hoyul v'odom kaveh sudas ala yayin. It's at that time that people establish their meals over wine. Avol b'shari mois hashana mevorech al kol kois v'kois. But other times of the year, people make brachas. Well, people are expected to make brachas on each cup of wine. Rabbo bar Mori iklo lebe Rava b'choil. So Rabbo visited Rava on a weekday. Chazio the baruch lefnei amazon. He saw him making a bracha on the wine before the meal. And v'hodar baruch la'achar hamazon. And again a bracha after the meal over the wine. Omar le Yasher. So he said, that's proper, that's good. V'chein Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And thusly, Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught as well. And we saw Rabbi Shua ben Levi just above where we underlined his name. Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef iklo lebe Abaye be Yom Tov. Rav Yitzchok visited Abaye on Yom Tov. Chazia debaruch akol kosa v'kosa. And he noticed a bracha was made over every cup of wine. Omarlei, so this arouses a question. Lo sover lo mor lo hod Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Do you not hold from Rabbi Shua ben Levi's teaching that on Yom Tov he's not considered like a nimlach, a person making a new decision? Namely, on Yom Tov people start their meal, start their whole eating experience with the anticipating having wine after as well. So why are you making a bracha on each cup of wine? Omarlei, nimlach ano. He answers, the reason is because in my case, after the first cup, I didn't have in mind to eat, to drink another cup. And each cup that was brought to me was like a new experience. Rashi says, Nimlachano eini rogilupo suda alyan. I'm just simply not accustomed to having wine as a central part of my meal. Ibaya laho, a question is raised. You'll notice we have a long question marking, and the structure of the question is going to be in an Aleph Oidilma base fashion, where two sides of the question are presented and we've marked it off accordingly. So the question of Ibaya laho, ba lohem yayin besoch hamazon. A case where wine is brought to people in the middle of a meal, and we must emphasize, and the wine had not been brought before the meal. Mahu shiftor es hayayin shelachar hamazon. Can the bracha recited over the wine that's in the middle of the meal exempt from bracha need a cup of wine served after the meal? Im timtzelomar, if you say berach al hayayin shelfnei hamazon poter es hayayin shelachar hamazon, the case of the Mishnah that a bracha on wine before the meal exempts wine from a bracha need for wine after the meal. That's easier to understand. Mishum dezeh lishtos vezeh lishtos, the role of the wine in the before and after case, as opposed to in the middle of the meal case. The lifnei and the acharei are for what's called lishtos, for purely drinking purposes. Aval hocha dezeh lishtos vezeh lishtos, but in our case that you're asking about, where the after the meal drinking is for lishtos purposes, and the middle of the meal is lishros. Lishros means that when one is eating, so he drinks a little bit so as to make it easier for the food to go down, so to speak. But it's not for drinking purposes. It's more of like a subsidiary. The drinking there is subsidiary to the eating, we can say. So in such a case, since the role of the drinking, the purpose of the drinking, is different when you're dealing with the middle as opposed to the after meal drinking, so maybe this the approach of the Mishnah, the rule in the Mishnah, would not apply, because the Mishnah was dealing with two lishtos cases. Oy Dilma Lo Shnor, maybe this is not reason for making a distinction. After all, it's wine is wine, and the same bracha applies. Rav Omar Poter. So Rav says it does, that the bracha made on the Soy Hamazon wine will exempt the Achar Hamazon wine. And there are quite a few shitas in the next few lines, so bear with the Gemara. Rav Kan Omar Eino Poter, Rav Nachman Omar Poter, Rav Sheshes Omar Eino Poter, Rav Huna of Rav Yehuda V'chol Talmidei de Rav Amri Eino Poter. This is very interesting. Here you have the Talmidei Rav saying Eino Poter, where Rav at the beginning of this list of shitas said it is Poter. Tosfos addresses that particular issue. In the meantime, we've seen quite a few different opinions. Esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava asks on Rav Nachman, if you'll notice, we didn't underline many names. We underlined Rav Nachman's name because of this point, because we want to see what he had said easily, so we'll appreciate the question. Rav Nachman said that the wine, Besoch HaMazon, will exempt. And Rava raises a question. This is a quote from our Mishnah, where wine was brought in the middle of the meal. The Mishnah taught each person makes his own wine bracha. When the wine is brought after the meal, then one leads the bracha for everybody. But now there's a certain assumption here that it's one continuous story. In other words, people had made brachas on wine in the middle of the meal, and then there's going to be wine after the meal. Now, if Rav Nachman's approach and Rav Nachman and company, if their approach is correct, then once the bracha was made besoch hamazon, that exempts the need for a post-meal wine bracha. But yet our Mishnah says there is a need for a post-meal wine bracha. That is the question. Omar lei, so Rav Nachman answers, hachi ko'omar. The way to understand the Mishnah is simply it's not one continuous story of wine brought in the middle and then they continued with wine after, but it's as follows. Im lo bo lohem yayin besoch hamazon, if wine had not been served to them in the middle of the meal, elo the achar hamazon, but rather for the first time after the meal, then echot mevorech lekulam. Then the Mishnah is telling us that one can lead the bracha for everyone else. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Berach al hapas potos apaperes, al hapaperes lo potos hapas, beishamai omrim af lo maisik dero. The purpose of this section is to isolate or to focus on beishamai's comment. So in the Mishnah, we have two parts that we're referring to here, the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is a case where he made a bracha on the hamotzi, bracha on the bread, and that exempts the parperes. The parperes, we explained, we saw examples in Rashi of what would constitute parperes. We saw things like little birds, or it was called pargios, or fish. Things, should we call them dainties, small food items that are that people eat along with during their meal. So the Mishnah mentioned that if you make a bracha on the bread, it exempts the parperes. A bracha on the parperes, let's say a person made a bracha over the fish or the pargios, that doesn't exempt the need for a bracha on the bread. Now, and Beis Shammai adds something. He says, not even Maisa Kedera. Maisa Kedera, that has to do with cooked foods. We've seen Maisa Kedera in the past. It could be dishes made with flour in them. We saw Maisa Kedera of the Chamisha Minei Dagon. But it's something different than parperes. So the Gemara asks, Ibailu Beis Shammai Areisha Pligi Oy Dilma Aseifa Pligi. Beis Shammai, is Beis Shammai coming to argue with the Reisha or the Seifa? And the Gemara now spells it out. And we should point out, by the way, structurally this is a long question. We have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. How would things be understood if he was arguing on the Reisha? And as we say, the Gemara spells it out. That's why we have, in our markings, we have, after the initial question of Ibayalo, we have Aleph Oidoma Beis. The Oidoma is squiggle underlined as it represents a transition. And then Beis, and now the Aleph here corresponds to the Aleph just the line above. Namely, the Ka'omar Tanakamo, Beirach Al Hapas, Potter Zopaperes. The Tanakama said that a brocha on pas, on the hamotzi, exempts the parperes. If the brichas hamotzi works like that, that exempts parperes, and parperes is something that in and of itself is not, a person doesn't eat for achieving satiety, but it eats it for lack of better expression, because it's enjoyable, it gives a person a good feeling, but it's not the mainstay of a meal. And the bracha on the bread will exempt the parperes, the kol shekein maisa kedera. As far as the Tanakama is concerned, the bracha on the bread will certainly exempt maisa kedera. Now, maisa kedera is a cooked dish, which is a mainstay of a meal. Rashi says shu ochel lozun mamish, eats it for achieving satisfaction. So that a brocha on bread is, if as the Tanakhama says, brocha on bread is effective for the parperis, which is quite different than bread in its role, and yet the brocha on the bread is effective to exempt the parperis from a separate brocha. Certainly, the brocha on bread will exempt the maisa gedera, which is much closer to the function of bread. The osi beishamai lemeimar, beishamai comes along, if he's a comment on the Reisha, to say, lo mibaya parperes de lo potra. I don't have to tell you that the brocha on the bread will not exempt the parperes. Again, lo mibaya parperes de lo potra lehu pas. The brocha on the bread won't exempt the parperes. Elo afilu maisa kedera nami lo potra. But not even maisa kedera will be exempted by the brocha on the bread. Even though the maisa kedera is similar, but so Beishami is very extreme. Not only will something that's disconnected from the bread in terms of its role will not be exempted, but even something similar to the bread won't be exempted. Oy Dilma, a seifa pligi. It could be Beishami's comment is on the seifa. The Katoni, the seifa says, Beirach ala parperes, lo poteres apas. This is the Tanakama acknowledges that a brocha on the parperes won't exempt bread. So, what's the position of the Tanakama? Pas u de lo potar, vo maisa kedera potar. Bread won't be exempted by parperes, but maisa kedera will be exempted by the brocha on the parperes. Once again, what is the seifa saying? That a broch on the parperes won't exempt the pas. Let's just say in our mind's eye, the gap between the two and their roles is so great that one could not imagine that a broch on the parperes will exempt bread from a brocha. However, we can infer that the parperes brocha won't exempt bread, but the parperes brocha could exempt maisa kedera. The Asu Beishamai Lameimar, the double underlining that we're using is just simply to emphasize Beishamai. Beishamai comes along to say, the afilu maisa kedera nami lo potar, that the brocha on the parperes, not only will it not exempt bread, but it won't exempt even maisa kedera. So that Beishamai in the Seifa, if you have him focused on the Seifa, his issue is with regard to the strength of a parperes brocha, but nothing to do with the hamotzi brocha. In the Reisha, if you say that Rashi, that Beishamai is focused on the Reisha, so he is focusing on the effectiveness of the hamotzi brocha. Not so if you say Beishamai is a comment on the Seifa. Teku, this remains unresolved. Hoyu Yoshvin, kol echod vi echod. The Mishnah had mentioned that if they were sitting, so then each one makes a bracha for themselves. However, if hesevu, if they recline, then one can make a bracha for everybody. the Gemara. Hesevu in, lo hesevu lo. The end of the Mishnah, at the end of the, that is the end of that section of the Mishnah, said if they recline, then one makes a bracha for everyone. If they're not hesevu, then not so. Viraminu. Now we want to raise a contradiction to the that point of the Mishnah. In other words, we're going to bring a source now where we will see that even in a case of yoshvu, one can make a bracha for everyone else. In other words, that you don't have to have hasava only hasava, but even a case of yeshiva, sitting as opposed to, and not even reclining, will be a sufficient circumstance for bracha exemption. Namely, for one to make a bracha to exempt others. So the source says, "Asor shahoyu holchem b'derech." 10 people walking on along on a road. Afal pi shekulam oichel mikikor echad. Even though they might all be eating from the same loaf, kol echad v'echad mevorech liatzmo. Each person must make his own bracha. Well, they are walking along, so there's no sense of togetherness to allow for we'll call it communal bracha. If this group of people then sat down to eat, and even though each one has their own bread, one can make a bracha for everyone else, to exempt everyone else. What do we see? Katani yashvu, afapi shelo hasevu. Seated is enough for enabling a bracha to be recited to exempt the others, even without actual reclining. That's the contradiction. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman explains that the Tanaic source quoted here, where Yashvu is enough, there's something additional. Kagon di Amri, they announced, they said, Nezel v'nechol lachma beduch plon, let us go and eat bread in a certain place. Duch, I mean, duch is a place, plon, certain place. Rashi, beduch palon, b'mokom ploni, dekavu lohem mitchila mokom b'dibor, v'eitza, v'hazmona. Their decision to decide on a place, and they articulated this, and they consulted with one another, and established that we're going to eat in this and this place. Have a kvius. That is the same thing as hasova. That establishes permanence, togetherness. But simply by having just so happened to sit down together in the same place, that is not kvius. The Gemara continues with an incident. Kinoch nafshei de Rav, when Rav passed away, Azu Talmidei Basrei, the Talmidim followed to bury him, followed in a, we'll call it, funeral procession, to bury him in some place other than where he died. Kihadri, on their way back, Amri, they said, Nezel v'necho lachmo anahar danak. Let us have a meal, let us go sit down and eat by, that's a place, it's a river named Danak. Boso de Karchi, after they had their meal, Yasvi v'komabayalahu, they raised a question. Hesevu davketanan, avol yoshvulo, when learning the Mishnah and the din of Hesevu, that in the case of Hesevu, one bracha can be said and others are exempted, is that where they only in the case of Hesevu, but if they had sat together, that wouldn't be enough. Oidilmo came on the Amri, or it could be since they said Nezel v'necho rifta beduchta planisa, they say, let us go and eat in a certain place. Ki Hesevu dami, that would be the same thing, it would be tantamount to Hesevu. So they're debating what constitutes kvius suda. Lo havu biyadayu. Amongst all of these Talmidim of Rav, no one had an answer. Kom Rav Ado bar Avo, Rav Ado arose. Now we continue at the top of Mem Gimel Omen Aleph. Ahader Kare Lachore. They had torn their garments, that's called Kriya, because of the passing of their Rav, of their teacher. We just They just came back from eulogizing Rav during his burial. So he came and he changed the position of his garment. That's a hader. He turned the garment around, the kare lachore, so that the tear that they had made in the garment, which is customary, or we'll say halachically expected when someone's Rebbe dies. So he turned the garment around. V'korah kriya achrina. So now that the in front of him, the front part of his garment is whole. So now he tears it with another kriya. Omar, wow, why is he tearing another kriya, another rend in the garment? Omar, he says, Noch nafshei derav ubirchas mezona lo gamrinon. Here, our teacher died, and we didn't even learn the halachas of brochas over food, and he's lamenting, he's bemoaning, mourning the fact that they are left as orphans of Torah, so to speak. The Rashi says, Ahadar kare lachor, in the top line, korah, kera shikora, the kera, the tear that they had torn, the hesped rabo, in the eulogizing of their teacher. Hichzira choluk lachor, he turned the choluk as the garment to his, where the tear comes out on his back. Umashalachor, that which was originally in back is now in front. Kidei likra kera acher, in order to tear another tear. Laharois evel achshov kiyom hamisa, to show how sad, how mournful this day is, like the day of death. And they need instruction, and they don't know how to rule. So they were in this mournful state. Until a certain elderly gentleman came along. He raised the stira that we demonstrated at the bottom of Mem Beis Omid Beis, where the Mishnah indicated Hesevu in Lo Hesevu Lo, and then we saw the Tanaic source where it said Yashru, the Shani Lahu, and he responded the using the same resolution of the contradiction as we had seen earlier in the Gemara. And what did he say? Kevon di Amri, since in that case they said Nezel v'Nechol Lachmo Duklon, let us sit down in that place and have a meal together. Ke hesebu dummy. That is like hasava. So their question would thereby be answered, because that's what they asked. They asked, what about a case where they say, Nezel v'necho v'rifta b'duchta p'lanisa? And the answer being that it is like hasava, and one could recite the bracha on behalf of the others, because that establishes kvius. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.